you'll find your outline and your bulletin and follow along. I was thinking about things that are happening to us as a church family and individuals. It seems like the Lord has taken a number of our body home to heaven over the last while, and I was going through the list and I started to figure out how many, but I ran out of time to how many the Lord's taken home in the last 22 years. But there have been a lot of them. But we celebrate that. We do a celebration of life service for individuals when we have services. But I thought it might be good for us as a church to sort of think about it. Not only do we deal with the death and grief and so on as an individual family, I think we need to recognize as a church body, we also deal with that. So that's what I want to think about for this morning. So if you found your outline, there's a number of scripture passages I want to use as we think about that. How are we going to respond to death and grief? And I suspect that those principles not only will apply to death and grief, but we're talking about Ed and Nancy leaving. We're going to miss them the same way. It won't be physical death, but some loss of any kind sometimes affects us similarly. But I want to think about some things in our relationship as believers related to the times when that comes. Now, I'd like to avoid death and grief. Every one of us, I think, would. But we can't in this world. Now, when we get to heaven, it'll be a different story, which I'll talk more about it. So when we think about it, how are we going to respond to that? How can we deal with that? Let me make some suggestions. You may make some notes and add other thoughts on your own as well. The first thing on your outline is, if you got it out, is embrace our connectedness. Now, I don't know whether that word connectedness is a word or not, but I put it up there anyway. Embrace our connectedness as a body of believers. The passage of Scripture, the first one says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. The other passage says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Whether we have stopped to think about it or not, as a body of believers, we are connected. The Scripture indicates in this passage, and of course, if you take 1 Corinthians 12, along with Romans 12, a couple of others, that God uses in Scripture the physical body as a way to describe the body of Christ, how we relate. So, when we think about it, this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 talks about various functions. But he comes to say, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one is honored, all rejoice with it. So I embrace the fact that I'm connected to each of you. I'm grateful for the connection. The connection is in Jesus. It's not because we happen to be attending Sierra Baptist Church or a member or be a Baptist or whatever. Our connection is in Christ. What ties us together more than anything else is that here's Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the center of it all. When you fall in love with Jesus, and you fall in love with Jesus, and you fall in love with Jesus, and Jesus saves us, and we're all centered in the one Jesus, that brings us this way together. We are connected because of our relationship in Jesus. So I'm glad to know that I have that connection in Jesus, which connects me with the rest of the body of Christ. I'm glad to have that kind of connection. I'm glad to know that when you hurt, I'm going to hurt with you. I would hate to be in a place where I was all by myself and no connection with other people who I identify with and belong to. Now, I realize connection sometimes is good, and sometimes we get difficult with our connections because sometimes we you know, something bugs us or whatever. But I need to recognize in this matter of death and dying and loss, I embrace the fact that we are together. We are connected in Christ. And because of that, what happens to each of you happens to the rest of us. Now, today I'm thinking about death and dying, but it also happens in the positive side as well. We celebrate those good times as well together. But there's a unity among us as a people of Christ. There's a song we sang, we're one in the bond of love. And that's what we are. So when we come to deal with this as a body of believers, I thank the Lord that I can know you and you and you and you and you together. We can be in Christ and connected with Him and as a result of that, connected with each other along the way. So that's one of the things I want to celebrate. I want to embrace that. Don't run away from it. Don't hide from it. Because we don't like hurt. Normally, when you hurt, what's the normal reaction? You want to pull away. That's normal. But when we're together as people who belong to Jesus, I embrace the fact that I'm connected to you and that I can feel with you. It would be a sad world if you couldn't feel with other people. You couldn't identify and share in the connectedness in Christ. So I celebrate that. I want to embrace that. Second thing I want to suggest is treasure the relationship. When I think about those that we deal with that we miss, I want to treasure the relationship. Be grateful that God gave us that relationship. That God has brought into our life these individuals. I'm convinced that people come into our lives by design, not by accident. I believe God brings into each of our lives individuals that we don't even know about, but He's putting us together in a relationship to fulfill His plan and His purpose through our being together. I want to treasure that relationship. The scripture I listed is one which Paul referred to. In fact, Romans 16 has several people that he relates to. But let me read this passage. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. But notice this. Paul is saying, I appreciate, I treasure this relationship. I treasure knowing these fellow believers. In this case, he talked about the two people that risked their lives for him. But there's a bond, there's a relationship, and he's treasuring that. He's talking about that. And the other one, and Epaphroditus said, he called him my beloved. I'm grateful that we have this relationship that we can treasure, that we've known individuals. Our lives are richer because of the people God puts in our life. Our lives are better because of these relationships that He puts into our heart and life. And as we embrace those relationships and grow in those relationships, we will become a better people. So when I miss somebody, I'm going to treasure the relationship that I've had with them, that God gave me the opportunity to know that person, to meet that person, to identify that person, to understand that person, to love that person, whatever. But I'm going to treasure that relationship because God put it there and it's a blessing to our life. We miss them, yes, but I treasure having known them. Our lives are richer because we knew them. Our lives are better because we knew them. God used them to that. So we are. This relationship means we're together, as I mentioned earlier, in Christ. This relationship is, again, because of our relationship in Jesus. But we share, we identify, we do things together. We share that wonderful relationship. And the good news is that relationship between us and other believers is lifetime. It is eternal forever. The relationships you're building with other believers, even those that are gone, it's a forever relationship. And praise the Lord, it's no end to it, which I'll talk more about in a minute. But that relationship in Christ is a wonderful relationship, and I treasure that. As you know, we were back visiting family and friends, but that relationship in Jesus is so special. To know, to touch, to love, to identify with, and to share with is a wonderful relationship. So when we talk about dealing with death and grief, I want to treasure the relationship God had given me have with that individual and with that person and all that can deal with that. The third area I want to think about for a minute is celebrate their contribution. Celebrate their contribution. That is, not only did I know them and connected to them, but they contributed some things to my life. The example I've given you on your notes has to do with a lady named Tabitha or Dorcas. Let me read it. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. When they had washed her body, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body. He said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I like the ending. We don't always get that ending, but only notice what happened. This lady, when she died, what were they doing? They were remembering the contribution she made. In this case, she had made various garments for them. But it didn't say just that. It said that she was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity. So there may have been more than just making garments. But so she had contributed something to the life of those individuals, not only in the product she gave them, but in her life and in her love and in what she gave them from herself was a contribution to their lives. And so I celebrate the contribution. When we know people, does the people you know make a contribution to you? Do they add something to your life? Do they give you something that makes a difference? And when I think about it as a church, I think about all the saints who have gone on. When you think about all those, some of you remembering people, you remember their contributions? Remember their teaching, their singing, their worship, their involvement, their participation? But you know, everybody makes a contribution, even if it isn't well known. I think they make a contribution just by being themselves in Christ, meeting you, and just being who they are makes a contribution to the value of the whole body. So some of us, you know, you see the preacher always up front. But what about the person who you don't ever see up front? Do they, when you come to worship or when you gather something, do the individuals who are involved in that meeting make any contribution to your life? Some are very quiet. Some of them we don't see. But do you remember them? Do they not add something to your life? Do they not call you to see something, think something, see differently? It's amazing to me sometimes how in a time of conversation, individuals will be so quiet and all of a sudden they come up with a goodie. They just say something. They just share something. But you know what? Does it not just getting together with other people and watching them smile and appreciate? Does that make a contribution to your life? You celebrate what they did, how they served. Whatever the way that is. Because every person serves differently. I'm going to miss you too, Ed and Nancy. You made a contribution to the life of this church. Thank you. We're going to miss that contribution. I'm going to celebrate what you did. How you served, how you helped us. And now God's done it. You're still living, I know. And I'm glad. But think about it. I celebrate when I come to miss those people. Even though I miss them. Thank you, God, for their contribution, for what they did, how they invested their life in the Lord, how they invested in the life of this church. We are here today, to this very day for worship, because of many saints who have gone on to be with Jesus, who years ago decided we need a place of worship, and who have come and gathered and worshiped, and they've gone to heaven. But they, because of their life and their service and their ministry, we are here today in this place with this church, in this particular worship, in this building, because God gave us a contribution for all those saints who have gone before us in the life of this church, let alone the whole kingdom of God. So I want to celebrate, in the midst of our loss, their contribution as an individual. And their contribution and their ministry, however they did it. And you're well aware that when it comes to ministry, nobody does it the same. Nobody will do it the same. They may do the same thing, but it won't be the same. I know last week Pastor Ron preached, but he didn't do like I did. And that's okay, because God used him like he is. When somebody leads music, Walt does it one way, but when Ed does it, it's another way. Or when... you didn't go that way. Dennis, I'll get it in a minute. When he does it, it's different. But it's still the contribution that they give, and I appreciate the way God does that in their lives. So we just need to celebrate. So what I'm suggesting is we deal with loss by accepting the fact we're connected, celebrating the relationship, and remembering and celebrating the contributions those individuals have made to us and to the kingdom of God, because they've done a wonderful thing. On the other side of your notes, another aspect of it is accept our loss. Accept our loss. Now, I recognize that sometimes we have said, and I've heard individuals say, which is true, that when a person dies, they're not lost. We know where they are. They've gone to heaven. That's true. But when a person leaves here, there is a loss. There is an emptiness. There is a change. There is something missing from us as an individual and from us as a body of Christ. There is that loss. And so I need to accept the fact it is lost, and it's okay to accept that loss and say, it's okay, I accept the fact as a body of believers, we've had a loss. And we embrace that loss. The Scripture says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old, when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. But the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Now, notice some things about it. It says, when Moses died, they grieved. It's all right to grieve. There is a loss. We've lost a relationship. We've lost a person. We've lost whatever they contributed. Not the sense that we remember it, but there is a loss. And when we individually, somebody leaves, dies, there is a missing. And it's okay to acknowledge that missing, to acknowledge that hurt, and to realize that God is at work still even in our loss. So I need to accept the fact that loss is okay. As long as I live in this world, there's going to be losses. I don't like them. I'd rather not have them. But they're going to happen. But that loss is going to hurt because you care. That loss is going to, you're going to feel it because there's a connection and you care. I want to say to you, it's a sad thing if you live in this world and you die and nobody cares. I have been twice in my lifetime. I've stood by a graveside with just me and the mortician. Nobody else. Two times I've been there. I've seen it. That's a sad day, folks. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. Nobody acknowledges the loss. Praise God that we can say, I did miss you. I do miss you. I do hurt for you. I do cry for you. And that's okay. We'll talk more about what that's doing. But I just want to suggest to you, I want to accept loss as a part of life. Don't like it, but it's a part of it. I remember what Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I celebrate Him. I was thinking about this. And I just want to throw it out and you think about it. I don't know if it's good or bad or whether it's something the Lord is trying to teach me. When the Lord takes away what He gives, is it always as good as what He takes away or better? So if He takes away something from you, even a loss of a person, is something He's going to give you better? Now, that's hard to think about. But if God takes a person away from me, maybe His presence, His comfort, His understanding, His peace that He gives may be better than what I had. Something to think about. It just sort of crossed my mind as I was thinking about all this. I kind of wonder, maybe God, who is a God who always does better, is offering me something in the midst of that, that what He takes away, what He gives me, is better, or at least good as. Not that what we've had was bad, I'm not saying that, or negative, but just saying the grace of God is that way. So, He gives and He takes away. It's a part of life. I suppose if Adam and Eve had never sinned, we wouldn't have to deal with all this stuff. But we do. Because they died, and death has been a part of the human race ever since, and will be till Jesus comes. So, I want to accept the fact I hurt. And that's okay. That I can care enough, love enough by the grace of God to hurt and admit I miss somebody. It's a loss. It's okay. The last thing on your notes, receive God's comfort and hope. Praise the Lord. He doesn't leave us all alone in the midst of our struggles and our hurts and our sorrows. I'm going to skip down to the verses near the bottom and then go back to the bigger section. So when we come to this time, notice these passages from Psalm. The first one down under next to the big section says, "Sing praise to the Lord, you His godly ones, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." Isn't that encouraging? Weeping is okay. Weeping is natural. But there's going to come a joy in the morning. There's going to come an uplift from the Lord. There's going to bring them a touch from God. He's promised that. And so I look forward to saying, "God, okay, I miss you, I miss this person, but I'm looking forward to joy coming in the morning." I want you to notice what about reminding of that, what it said about Moses. They mourned for 30 days, and what does it say? The days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. There's a change. There's a moving on. There's a accepting the fact that this is, and we find God's blessing. The other passage, the next one, says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The other passage says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Does He do that? Does He understand broken hearts? In my mind, God, who allowed His Son to die on the cross, the heart of God had to be broken as He allowed His own Son to die on the cross for us. A God who loves could not have done it other way. He could not have sat in heaven and said, "Oh, great. I think His heart was broken when He let His Son die on the cross." He saw Him go through the agony of all the sin being piled on Him. He saw Him feeling left alone and isolated, and the heart of God is broken. I think He understands our brokenness. He understands what's going on inside us. And He loves us and says, "I want to help you. I want to be there for you." And He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Thank you, Lord. There's hope. There's healing in our soul. There's help for our spirit. It doesn't take away the hurt. It just heals it. We learn how to receive the comfort from the Lord. Sometimes we get that. He uses other people to help us. But I receive the comfort from God. So today, as we think about people we've missed, saints, thank you, God, for the comfort. And then I want to go back to the passage. It's the larger passage in that section. It's something we know, but I want to remind us of it. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will God bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I know we read this often at a funeral service or memorial service, but what does the first part of that say? "I want to tell you something so that you don't grieve." He didn't say don't grieve. He said don't grieve what? Without hope. Without hope. Because as a child of God, those saints that we've gotten, we celebrate today. The Bible says there's coming a time when Jesus comes. I don't worry about all the details about how that's going to happen. But He says the time is going to come. The time is going to come when our Lord Jesus is going to split the sky wide open. And the dead in Christ in those graves are going to come out with a new body. And we who are alive are going to be transformed. We're going to meet together with the Lord in the air, and we're going to ever be with the Lord. Listen, folks, we've got hope. We've got hope. It'll help us deal with our hurts and our pains and our sorrows now, because this isn't all of it. It isn't over yet. It isn't open over till He comes and gathers all His saints who loved Him, who've been devoted to Him, who centered in Him, and brings us together. Thank you, Lord. So as a church body, we miss them. We grieve for them. But praise God, one day we're going to see them again face to face. So between now and then, we're going to celebrate the Lord and celebrate His blessing. We're going to go on and serve in the capacity that God's given us and make our contribution for Him until He takes us home. Because He's going to take us all home sometime. Either when He comes or before then. So He said, comfort one another with these words. It's always to grieve, but just don't grieve without hope. Grieve with hope, with assurance. I want to share with you this that I shared with one of the services which Chuck gave me from Max Lucado. I just want to remind us of this. He says, for those who may be mourning and grieving true loss this week, I first want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this very real pain. I can't tell you anything you don't already know, but I can remind you of something. In God's plan, every life is long enough and every death is timely. Think about that. And though you and I might wish for a longer life, God knows better. And, this is important, though you and I may wish a longer life for our loved ones, they don't. Ironically, the first to accept God's decision of death is the one who dies. While we are shaking heads in disbelief, they are lifting their hands in worship. While we are mourning at a grave, they are marveling at heaven. That's comfortable, folks. Many of our saints are already doing that. And one day, we're going to join them. We'll miss them. We'll celebrate them. We'll love them. And we'll look forward. So thank you, as a church body, we have a lot to look forward to. Celebrate, yes. Miss, yes. On all the things. But remember, He is our hope. In Mature Living magazine, this article that I want to read a part of about our God. Each twist and turn our lives take and every single circumstance that befalls us allowed us the opportunity to trust in our unchanging God. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is faithful. Our God is always present. Our God is in control. Our God is steadfast. Our God is our rock and our fortress and our salvation. God remains God in the good and the bad, in the rejoicing and the devastation, in the times when we feel near and the times when we feel numb. God remains God. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. For our darkest days or our most glorious days, God stays the same. He is perfect. He is loving. He is powerful. He is holy. His loving pursuit after each one of our souls is unceasing. We serve a wonderful God, folks. And together, we all want us to celebrate that and to rejoice in that. So as a church body, I hope we can celebrate, mourn, and rejoice at the same time in the Lord. Now, I want us to do that as a group. So I'm going to show on the screen two passages of Scripture. One talks about our loss, and one talks about our hope. But what I want you to do is read this together with me as a body, to acknowledge our loss and to celebrate our hope, okay? As a group, not just individually, but as a group. So I've asked Chuck to show this up on the screen for us, so I want to read this. You ready? I want you to read it with me. My heart is in an anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Before you show the... Do you ever feel like that? Now, let's do the other ones, our hope together. Ready? Praise be to the Lord. He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to carry us. He is our shepherd. He is our hope. We can grieve together and rejoice together as a body of believers as we celebrate the goodness of God and the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know Jesus. Because all that I've talked about is available only in Jesus. He's the one that gives you hope. He's the one that gives you comfort. He's the one that gives you peace. My heart and desire is today, if you never opened your heart to Jesus, you'll say, Jesus, come live in my life today. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. And I want to see, you're that kind of God, I need you. I need you to forgive me and save me and cry out to Him. And maybe as believers today, you're thinking about, maybe you're here grieving. Would you bring that grief to the Lord? Maybe you're missing somebody. Would you just talk to the Lord about it as we pray here in a moment? And just lift it up to Him and watch Him touch and heal and bless. Maybe the other decisions about your life, your walk, your service, you just want to pray, come and pray. You want to share a decision, come. Pastor Ryan, I'll be here. Glad to talk to you, pray with you. We'll together, I want us to celebrate the goodness of God. So let's bow together.